You want Philly Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Philly special. Ready? Here we go, here we go. Tonight! Easy, easy! Kill, kill! Lane, lane! Let's go! Let's go!
Woo! I'm about to go to sleep here, and I'm about to rub one out tonight, you know? That's kind of what I do here. That's like a stress reliever, ready to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, Big Matty, man, Buffalo Matt, just reaches out of the blue. Now, I know, Matty, you miss it. You miss the podcasting. You miss the chit-chat. I know you do. He goes out of the blue. Hey, man, did the Boston guy go to the Super Bowl? And you know Matty's like a meat and potatoes guy. He's not trying to chat. Say, hey, I asked a fucking question. Just give me the answer, all right? And I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm giving you the Donnie excuse. I know nothing. And, you know, D-Rock's dancing around it. He's thinking I'm sending shit up. I'm not sending shit up. Come on now. I'm not going to throw salt on that wound. I'm a Bucks fan through and through, but I'm a Brady guy. I like seeing excellence out there. And holy shit. I mean, that was a great game. One of the better Super Bowls that we had, huh? When it comes to that, I went over to Lewis's, for any of you guys that played hoops over at the Y. Lewis is the Puerto Rican twin version of me. He looks just like me, right? But he's a better offensive player than I am. And we went over his house, the morning guys, in a totally different crowd than you fucks, okay? I mean, you guys are reckless. I feel like this is like Animal House, Frat House, with, you know, Jim Belushi, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we're a bunch of jackasses. I mean, we really are a weird bunch, all right? But, yeah, so this group is totally different, just real chill, and we're just there watching the game. And, goodness, it was, you know, went in there, crashed the party late. You know, I like to make that grand entrance. And it was a very interesting game, man, because I got there at the end of the first quarter, and it was 9-3. I was listening to it on the radio. And Gostkowski, that's kind of a weird night for the Patriots. You know something was up. I mean, Gostkowski's missing some kicks there. And I'm scratching my head saying to myself, man, this guy was Mr. Automatic. This is the guy that dethroned Vinatieri. Basically, you know, the Colts, not the Colts, but the Pats said, hey, you know what, Vinatieri? We don't need you. We got this guy here, Gostkowski. He's been automatic for the last few years, especially in fantasy football. So I don't know what the heck happened to him. The Grammatica ghost got in him. I don't understand it, but it was just really weird to see it. And I think we all knew, especially after that thumping that Philly gave the Vikings, that in a neutral site like this, with the elements under control, that Philly was on a roll. I mean, that was very evident. I mean, when Carson Wentz went down, it was very sad because you could tell that was a very good team. That was definitely top three teams. Easily the best team in the NFC, and for that guy to go down and then Nick Foles going in, I know I talked about that earlier in prior podcasts, how they were having Nick Foles watch prior games of him when he was with Chip Kelly. I was, you know, what is that for? But I guess whatever magic they worked over in Philadelphia, it paid dividends big time. And just watching that game, I was really rooting for Brady and the Patriots, and I'll tell you why. Just because I feel that all of us, when we are watching athletes through their rise and through that zone they go through, whether it's Tiger Woods, whether it's Jordan, and now Brady, when you have these athletes that are going through these moments, this span of domination, you know those moments are few and far in between. So, and you know that with Brady, he's at the very end of that run. I mean, at 40 years old, winning the MVP and looking amazing. I mean, he still hasn't lost any strength, any power. He seems to be very smart about the way he carries himself on the field. He tries to avoid the licks. He's always been that guy anyway. And I know Matty, I know A-Train, you guys hate me talking about Brady like this, but he's gotten very smart about when that hit comes, he folds like a chair. That motherfucker just goes down. And for some reason, man, he was just doing his magic again. And they didn't go to Gronk in that first half. And they weren't double teaming him as much as I thought they would. I mean, they were having a guy over the top and maybe a follower. They were doing a lot of zone. But then in the second half, they figured it out, and Brady just kept throwing to the big guy, the Gronk. I love the Gronk, man. That guy is one of my favorite players in the league. He's a big fucking guy with skills. You know, I don't know if I would have been a tight end. I like more of Lane Depain. I like playing defensive end linebacker. I'm more of a defensive-minded guy. I like laying the fucking hit, grabbing a face mask, punching the fucking balls. Either that or offensive lineman. But if I did that, I'd get a heart attack. But, yeah, it was the game was very interesting because the flow was very good. They only had two punts that whole game. And it was just a back and forth going on. And watching that Philly special, you're thinking on fourth down, like, what the fuck's going on here? What play are they going to try to pull on Belichick that he hasn't seen? And holy shit, it was magical. And I would say that was probably one of my favorite moments. I've been watching it. Sorry, D-Rock, I've been watching that play, and I haven't sent you anything. I've moved on with our conversations. We're not talking about football. I move forward. You know, don't try to lure me back into that. I fucking baited Maddie into asking about the Super Bowl. I didn't go into it. But, yeah, our boy D-Rock ended up going. It looked like an amazing experience that from what he was showing us via pics. You know, none of you fucks are social media savvy, so you don't know what the fuck he's posting. That's why guys like Matt ask questions. You got to get on the ball, buddy. You got to get you an account, something. You know, you just can't check out of this world saying that, oh, yeah, I didn't fucking touch that social media. You got to, come on, man. Just go ahead and get an anonymous one. You know, follow one of your kids, something. Just get on the ball. But, yeah, follow MVPRealty.com. I'm trying to get that fucker. You know, I'm tired of the rat race. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to be like Shaq. You know how Shaq works for Marlo? I'm just trying to work for D-Rock right now. I'm just trying to be a little peddler on the team, you know. And I know he's going to give me a hard time possibly, but who knows? Yeah, I'm totally derailing here. But, yeah, then that second half, it got really going. As far as the activity, none of the defense decided to play, both on the Eagles and the Patriots. They were not playing any defense. And it was interesting because the story that came out of the Super Bowl obviously was the Malcolm Butler situation. What happened there? And initially there were reports saying that he was smoking a little weed, and then he was out late smashing hoes and went ahead and was late to practice. And none of that was true. He went ahead. He just gave an elaborate speech via his Twitter. And it's basically renouncing all of the reports that are coming out about what happened to him and the reason for his benching. He's denouncing all of that. He's just saying, no, that's not true. I've had a great time here. I've tried to be prepared. And that's that. And I'm sure what he's doing, he's just taking the high road so he doesn't have to address it until after he signs with a new team. Because from the looks of it, I mean, we can all agree that that was one of those things that no matter what happened, I mean, he's not coming back. I mean, I know Belichick put him in the doghouse at the last minute. And I think that's probably going to be one of those bad moments for him when he looks back in the coaching career. I think him not putting Butler, now granted, they scored 41 points, but, I mean, the guy was in there. I want to say the statistic was 97% of the snaps on defense this year. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, well, he's not part of the game plan. I don't know about that. You're going to have your best players out there, coach. And maybe he doesn't play as much, right? Maybe he plays a different role, but he's out there. If he was playing that much during the season, he's got to be legit. He wasn't hurt. And I just felt that, hey, right, you gave up 41 points. It probably wouldn't have made a big difference. But you said the same, you know, a couple of years ago, he won your Super Bowl on one play. And I think that kind of savvy, that kind of moxie, that championship moxie, it does carry into these games. I don't care what anybody says. And, I mean, obviously these guys are coaches. I'm just a fan. But I'm just looking at it from the perspective of, you know, you got to put your best players out there. And for some reason, for whatever personal agenda, and I know the talk, that's been building up steam in New England as far as how Belichick has handled the whole situation with Malcolm Butler. But again, I mean, they were scoring left and right. It was Eagles were on a fucking warpath out there offensively. Every time they had the ball, they were going. And a few times they ran the ball. I want to say they ran it under 20 times. I mean, Blount was on fucking revenge tour going after those guys. And kudos to him. I mean, everywhere he's gone, for the most part, he's been productive. I mean, I would say outside of Pittsburgh, maybe. But he was only there for a year. And obviously they had Le'Veon Bell. But New England, productive. With the Bucks, when he was with us, awesome. And then obviously in the Philadelphia, and they had a three-headed back. You know, they had Clement, they had Ajayi, and they had himself. So it was very weird to just see that scenario play out, meaning with Butler being on the sidelines, and he basically just got in on one play because they didn't have any special teams playing. It was just an offense duel. Showdown at the hold down. And I don't know what to say about it, man. It was just it was a very entertaining game. And even when Zach Ertz scored it, and that's a touchdown. For anybody that knows fucking football, you can't compare that to the Jesse James. The guy had three steps, so he obviously had control of the ball. Then he dove. And once you break the plane, it doesn't matter. After you've been labeled as a runner, if you jump towards the pylon, if you jump, break that line, you're fine. Just think of it, the QB sneaks. When a guy, the quarterback, just go ahead and puts the ball out in the front, right? And as soon as that happens, it's a touchdown. They stop running and everything. So I don't understand. They try to sensationalize a lot of these things. You know, your boy Chris Collinsworth, though, D-Rock, he was definitely blowing some major New England dick, though. He was definitely on the New England payroll. And I'm saying to myself, look, you don't got to go that far, okay? You're supposed to be neutral. And I was rooting for the Patriots. I was the only guy in that fucking house. Everyone was hating on the Patriots. What's up with people hating on winners, all right? I have a problem with that. Oh, well, we want to see somebody else win it. What the fuck you mean? It's not your team. If it's not your team playing, just root for the best guy. Watch history. God damn. It's like, don't be a fucking bitter girlfriend. You didn't get taken out to the prom. Go find some new dick, man. Or just celebrate. Congratulate. God damn. Dude, you know, these guys just get all in their feelings. Like, dude, let's just watch Brady, the greatest. But I'm really happy for Philly, their fan base. It's a toss-up with me between Oakland and the Eagles as far as the worst fan base. I've been around both. I have to say, Raiders were nice. Eagles were arrogant. They're like New England fans, but they're quick to fight. From my experiences, they're quick to throw a beer on you. They're quick to take it outside. And that's the difference I see. But Oakland fans are notorious. They're known for crazy shit themselves. And so that's going to be interesting how it works out in Vegas. But, you know, the game, I don't know, man. That game was just very good. But it even came down to the Hail Mary at the end. I mean, you could have easily said that Gronk got pushed or got grabbed. But that motherfucker just be pushing people left to right. He's like the fucking Hulk. Like, doom, doom, bruh, out of my way. Bruh, he's just fucking knocking people out left to right, boy. God damn, that's my man. I love that dude. And it's going to be interesting because now at 29, he's had a slew of injuries. And when they were asking him that question, you could tell that he was surprised. It's like, who told you that? He looked at the reporter like, who told you that, man? Like, you know, like, that wasn't supposed to get out. But, you know, these people, man, they just have all the access in the world, and they have all these birds chirping, all these rats going around town just, you know, telling information. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out in New England. But I think Philly was the better team. Congratulations to Nick Foles. And I think they're probably going to keep Nick Foles. I think they should anyway. Right now, that just showed you that having a backup quarterback, a reliable backup quarterback, is something that is just as valuable. Not more important than the starting quarterback, but it's very valuable because you can keep the momentum going. And especially in Philly, they had that momentum going in when Carson Wentz went down, and he went ahead and picked up, and they did a great job. So I hopefully see that the Eagles are going to go ahead and keep him unless Nick Foles wants to get a starting job somewhere else. And just I would say just ride it out, man, to the end, because you just never know what the future holds. And for New England, it's going to be interesting how they put all the pieces together, because they didn't have Edelman. Brandon Cooks got knocked the fuck out. You saw that play. He's trying to get all pretty, and oh man, that guy just went helmet to helmet. And I think that's the rule. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw guys going after the main players on head-to-head collisions, because they're not getting ejected. That's one thing about it, is that these guys are getting pounded and they're going for it and they're not getting ejected, just getting the 15-yard. So that's going to be interesting if that's something that we see differently, especially in the big games, where guys are just going to say, fuck it, let's take this guy out, because now the sensitivity with the concussions is such that if you're not able to get up, you're out of the game automatically. No more sniffing salt, no more protocol on the sidelines. You get the fuck out. So I just think at the end, New England had every chance to win it. They missed a couple kicks. And, I mean, the fumble with Brady, you can't fault them for that. That's just in the moment it happened. You know, I was really hoping for a break, man. I was like, man, come on, Tucker, come on. Again, it was just so interesting, man. Everyone was rooting against the Patriots. God damn, guys. And I'm just scratching my head. Like, this guy's the greatest. 500 yards passing. I mean, basically had a perfect game from my understanding. And I don't know. How can you – he's the greatest ever. And I like seeing guys like him win. I like seeing – I want to be able to say as a grandfather, it's like, man, I saw the greatest quarterback ever play, son. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. That's how I want to do when I have grandkids, if I have grandkids, you know. Jesus, I'm thinking too far ahead, am I? Ugh. So overall, man, it was a great ending to the season. I thought it was well done, and it's going to be interesting how the Eagles move forward. I mean, obviously Carson Wentz is the future, but how are they going to keep all those pieces together? And it's going to be for New England. I'm seeing how this all unwinds, because as we all know, these dynasties, they don't end well. It's like a real ugly, slow death that we see, right? And I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, there was a bit of a talk of tension going on between Belichick and TB12. And now I don't know what to make of it now with this whole Malcolm Butler thing. You want to give credit to Belichick, obviously, because he's a main reason why they won all those. He's a great game manager. By the way, if you haven't seen it, I do suggest watching the two Bills. It reminds me of me and MVP a little bit of that dynamic. Like, you know, like he's different, I'm different, and we're kind of jerks to each other, but we have a great connection, especially in a work environment scenario. Like we've had that in the past. You know, I hate that guy. I hate that fucking guy. But yeah, so that's it, boys. I mean, that was my shitty wrap-up here. I'm doing this on the fly. And I think it was overall a great season. The Super Bowl ended very well. And as we look forward to next year, I think that it's safe to say that it's another free-for-all with the Patriots leading the way, possibly Pittsburgh having one more run at it as far as going at the, you know, the kings of the AFC. Philly is going to be interesting if they sustain it, because obviously you know that the Rams are going to come back. And then Seattle, I really do like Seattle. It's something about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson that I always give them the benefit of the doubt there. And it's just going to be interesting because there's always a free-for-all. Usually four teams that didn't make it the prior year end up making the playoffs. So hopefully one of them is the Bucks. And I'm rooting for you, Matty, for your boys. They deserve it. And I hope things happen. But, yeah, man, I mean, D-Rock, when Matty answers or, you know, rings the doorbell, I mean, you got to fucking answer, okay? I'm not going to answer for you. You went to the Super Bowl. You know, he just calls you the Boston guy. Hey, the Boston guy go, you fucking answer to that guy, all right? You don't want him coming down to your door and asking you personally. That's not going to be a good look, okay? So get your shit together, MVP. Hopefully we could talk real business sooner than later. And for now, boys, that's it. I'm signing off. I can't do none of the – what are we going to talk about now? Huh? We don't get together to play. We don't get together to hang out. I mean, my birthday's coming up, but, you know, I don't want to jinx myself. I don't have another car crash, you know. And then I hit all the social media with a neck brace and, you know, all you guys making fun of me. I can't do that. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell we're going to do, boys. I mean, any ideas throw my way. But right now I'm stumped. I think this is it, man. God damn. You know, I've been doing all these different philosophical serious talks. I miss this shit. I miss you boys. And, well, we got to just hang on tight for another 6 months. So hang in there.
At what happened to Malcolm Butler. Bill Belichick saying after the game it was not disciplinary. It was what he felt was in the best interest of the team. As far as Stephon Gilmore was concerned, he said he didn't find out until the rest of the nation and the fans and the reporters watching in the stadium found out, and that was at the very start of the game. Same goes for Eric Rowe. He didn't find out until just before kickoff that he was starting as a cornerback for Super Bowl 52. Alshon Jeffrey had a huge first half, including a spectacular touchdown grab right behind me, and the Eagles had control of this game.